Marianne, why don't you come on up to share with us? Thanks for being willing to do this. You know, when you start asking around who's willing to share, it's always kind of nerve-wracking because you don't know who's going to be willing. But Marianne was willing, and so we're...
Is that your water or my water?
Oh, you brought your own. Good for you. So that's my water now.
Okay.
That's great. Okay. So Marianne, how long have you been at Bethany for? Oh, you're going to need this.
On or
yeah,
do I
think you're
on?
Good to go.
Okay. Well, our family, meaning Dave and I, and our two sons at that time, Benjamin and Andrew, we came probably in about 1988.
Okay.
So that's when we came as a family. Mm-hmm. But Bethany has been part of our family for many years.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell us that story?
Right. It's actually part of my mother's story and my father's. They were living on the fourth line, and this goes back before I was born, or actually when I was quite young. And a family moved into fourth line area. It was Don and Mary Douglas. And John tells me that was in the early 50s, I guess, so before John and I were born. But so my mother's family lived on the fourth line, and then my mom and dad lived there as well, and that's where I was born. And this family was very friendly, and Don and Mary Douglas, and mom said that Mr. Douglas would, she would see him walking and visiting the neighbors. And Lois befriended my youngest aunt, John's sister, and started inviting her to this little church on Nicoll Avenue, which was called Cora Baptist at that time, which was Bethany. And so that's how my parents and my mother's family were introduced to the Lord. And then they heard about these special meetings that were going to be held at Bethany. Missionaries from from South Africa, I think, Harry and Gail Stajan. And Gail Stajan is the sister of Doug Lawrence. So all these families were involved, and mom and dad heard about these special meetings, and they thought, let's go. So they went, and they heard about the love of Jesus. And my mother said she never realized how much God loved her, and that just touched her. And then the hymns that were being sung, like, what a friend we had in Jesus. And she just felt so loved, and that no matter what was going on in her mm-hmm. life, she was going through a difficult time at that time, that she was loved by God and that he was her friend. And so they went up to the front because the altar calls were very popular back then. Mm-hmm. And they went up to the front along with, I think, one of my other aunts, Jim and Laura Conway. And mom said she remembers looking behind her and thinking, why isn't everybody coming up? So they gave their lives to Christ at that point. Yeah. And so that's how our family became believers. And then my parents actually moved to Guli, and my mother started a Sunday school in our home. And we had a garage at the end of our driveway, and my dad and whoever helped him, they converted it into a little church. Mm-hmm. And Don Douglas would come, and other missionaries and pastors would come and preach. And that's how the little Baptist church out in Guli started.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the prayers of the original people from Bethany that were praying for the community and releasing the love of God in that neighborhood.
It's really interesting how things that happen before we're even born have such a great impact on our lives, right?
Right.
And even for your children and now your children's children.
The fourth generation now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Amazing. So tell us about your family then. You mentioned two boys. You have a few more kids.
Yes,
now
we have Jared and Hannah. So we have four children.
Okay.
We are very, very, very blessed to have our three married sons here in the Sioux, working in the Sioux. And God has given us three wonderful daughter-in-laws and grandchildren. So we're very thankful for that. And our daughter Hannah, we miss her. But she is working out in Victoria BC has a wonderful job there as a behavioral therapist working with children with autism.
Now, your career was a bit of a winding path. Tell us briefly about your career path.
Well, I was a working mom. I did contract work, though, through the years when my children were small. But I can look back and realize how God blessed me with job opportunities. I'm a social person, and so this was important for me to, though I loved being home with my kids and family, that social interaction, it was something I really craved. So I was a graduate from Sioux College, and I was hired by Sioux College upon graduation. So I worked there for about a year and a half in the continuing education division. Then I went on to the Ministry of Natural Resources and worked as the district manager secretary, which was a huge leap for me. I had a lot of responsibility and supervisor responsibility as well. When I was expecting my first child, back in those days, everybody smoked in the office. So I was nauseous all the time, and I decided this wasn't worth it. So I did quit work completely because I was, just so sick with this pregnancy and having to work. But after resting for a while and everything went fine, I started to take courses and upgrade my skills and look for contract work. So I started working part-time in different jobs, supervising the secretarial center at Sioux College, and then I got into teaching night classes, and computers were becoming popular, and Dave was getting into computers, so I started taking computer courses, taking the Microsoft Office suite, and eventually I started teaching at Sioux College as a sessional instructor, mm-hmm. and then started my own consulting business, teaching the Microsoft product suite to industry in the Sioux. And that landed me, actually I was teaching at Roberta Bondar, the ministries in that building, and then they asked me to come on full time to develop and deliver training in the corporate applications for forestry companies, mm-hmm. and for M&R. So I was doing that for the last 20 years before I retired.
Not to overinterpret, but that isn't the way you mapped it out. And sometimes our lives happen like that, right?
Right.
Where we just take a step, and the next step leads to the next step, and so on, and soon you have your own business, and that's not what you planned.
No, but it gave me flexibility because I was raising my children at that time too. So it worked out well.
Good. Well, let's talk about the 10 days of prayer then. What was your initial response to that initiative?
Well, my initial response was, oh, this is great. And it triggered a memory. Well, when my children were in elementary school at Torrance Public School, I believe it was Gwen Legacy, actually, that introduced us to the Mothers Who Care prayer ministry. Mm-hmm. And I became a part of that, praying for Taryn Torres and hosting the prayer meetings in my home. And it was a wonderful time to show love and encouragement to teachers and staff and also to the children and help out in practical ways. We would bring up baking. We would bring mitts and toques and socks and school supplies if teachers knew that there were children that needed those things. So it was a really practical way, and being focused and intentional on a group of people.
Right.
And so that's what, and I had totally forgotten that I had been involved in something like that at one time. So it brought back that memory, and I thought, this is great. This is what we need to be doing.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you start out. What happens in those first couple of days as you begin to pray?
Penny provided us with guidance and direction, and which I appreciated. I like structure. I like organization. Mm-hmm. So she asked us to start with thanksgiving and adoration and being thankful, and also to find out what God was laying on our hearts individually.
Right.
So I started praying for that. And one of the things that God laid on my heart was that to start with, you need to pray for protection for the people that are praying. Mm-hmm. For whenever God starts a good work, you know that there's going to be a battle. That there's, you know, Satan is going to try to
distract or disrupt.
Right. Yeah. And, or, you know, lose hope or encouragement, mm-hmm, or whatever, or focus. So that's where I started praying. And then as we went forward, we were looking at, you know, praying for relationships and just the hurt and the pain and in the Sioux. And then I realized, it came to me that I didn't really have to look for issues that were just vague out there. There was people that were crossing my path every day that were hurting, and I may not even know they're hurt. And just to pray for the people that crossed my path. And actually, I sent a memo to Penny. Can I just read what I wrote?
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
Just so that I keep track of what I was trying to say. So this is short. So I sent this email to Penny. I started with 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Yesterday, I tried to focus on releasing God's love through prayer. I became aware of how many people, strangers, God actually puts in my path in just one day. I need to focus my thoughts not on what I'm doing at the moment, but on their words, actions, etc. To be aware, sympathetic, compassionate, and silently lift them up to God in prayer right at that moment. And I gave three examples of what I had experienced in one or two days. I was at the hospital with Dave for a scheduled appointment he had. As I waited for him reading a book, I overheard a staff member expressing to another how completely stressed she was over a personal situation. Here was an opportunity to put my book down and pray for this person and her situation, as well as other hospital staff members. The poor mailman who left the cluster of mailboxes at the end of our driveway yesterday completely open, parcels, letters exposed, and the keys sitting in one of the boxes. I locked all the boxes and held onto the keys until I saw him return about half an hour later, completely flustered and embarrassed. Here was an opportunity to pray for this man instead of judging, and to be aware that neighbors were also watching. Number three, the beautiful memorial school park that we have in our neighborhood, where a large group of older teens, young adults, have been hanging out each evening to play basketball. They leave broken beer bottles and trash all over. The police have shown up to disperse this group, but they continue to return. I need to pray for this group to show these young boys love and compassion, as well as the police who are trying to control this situation peacefully. And this is a difficult one for me because it's continuing.
Yeah.
But, you know, at first you just want to go over there as a mom and a grandma. I just want to grab a couple of their heads and knock them together. But that's not going to be too effective. They're a lot bigger than me. But those are some examples.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to note that we often think, oh, we're praying to see a change in that situation out there. But often the change that occurs is right in here. This doesn't exactly apply to your situation, but just sitting in the office reading a book, I had a friend post on Facebook the other day that the opposite of unceasing prayer is owning a cell phone. Right? Because it's constantly the distraction, constantly. Like, it's always there. And so our life of unceasing prayer is often interrupted willfully. Like, we choose to interrupt it. And I don't think we'll make much progress as long as that is our constant companion. And I hope you hear me confessing as the number one sinner here, right? That has to be put down more in order for my prayer life to grow. Yeah. Great stories. Now, in the longer term, what are your takeaways from that 10-day period?
Well, again, I made a few notes here.
Okay.
last Wednesday at prayer meeting, I think you kind of hit on it with, we were reading Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And the verse is, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So we need to continue in prayer. And the importance is not to lose heart or to give into disappointment, but to encourage each other to be united in intentional, faith-filled prayer, and to be known for our love and good deeds and not just what we are against. And for me personally, to be more observant and pray for the people that come in contact on any given day, that they would know and feel the love of God.
Yeah, it's interesting that Hebrews 10 piece that we talked about at prayer meeting, Howard's prayers encourage me to pray. That's not why Howard's praying, but they do. Tim's prayers encourage me to pray more, right? And so there's this kind of mutual accountability. Maybe accountability is not the right word, but support. Just the, you mentioned Gwen Legacy. You know, the her motivation to care for the school drove a number of people towards greater prayer. That's amazing, right? It's really great stuff. We also talked about Revelation a little bit, about these images or metaphors for prayer. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes. A verse that has always encouraged me when it comes to praying and remembering and being thankful for the prayers that have gone before us, is Revelations 5:8 and also Revelations 8:3. And this is Revelations 5:8. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls of incense, which are prayers of God's people. And that verse is always, that image that it gives, has been precious to me when I think about the beauty and the power of prayer, and that God collects our prayers in golden bowls, and it's a sweet fragrance to him. And, you know, I know that's probably symbolic, but the fact that God is outside of time and eternal means that our prayers are with him, and they're outside of time. That means that prayers from the past, from the present, from the future are all relevant. They are not shredded like yesterday's email or deleted like a text, that our prayers are active. And so I'm just very thankful for the prayers that have gone before and the prayers that will come after. So
I love the way you said that, because we do tend to fit these spiritual concepts into concepts that are familiar with us, right? So email, things go in the recycle bin, never to be seen again. Phone calls end, and they're over. They're just gone. But prayers have this eternal quality to them, that prayers that your mom prayed for you are still rising to heaven. And even my own mother is a very faithful prayer. Those prayers go on forever.
Right.
And
right.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. There was one more story. We're going to run out of time here, but there was one more story that was really interesting. It was the story of your coworker. I don't know how many years ago that was.
Yeah, well, this was at my last job, but I was fairly new at the ministry, and there was a single mom that I was working with, and she was a very confident and just a wonderful worker, lovely person. But I just knew her through work. I didn't know her personally. We didn't have any talks or coffee together or anything outside of work. It was
Marianne, is confident, is that a code word for something else? Or you said,
no, she's, no,
okay,
she was,
okay.
Yeah, she was a take charge type person,
right,
like me. And she was she was good at her job.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no, it wasn't, nothing negative there at all.
Okay,
no.
Good.
But anyway, I had heard that she was going through a difficult time. She was off work, and I don't even remember what it was about, but I just remember being very concerned for her and feeling for her. And one of the things I used to do on my coffee break or lunch hour is go to the scripture gift and bookstore because my friend owned it and I would go and visit her and I was always picking up cards. There was always something I needed, so I'd go over there. And this one day I was over there and I became fixated on this book. And I can't even tell you what the book is or who the author is now. I was just frozen staring at it, and I knew the Holy Spirit was prompting me to buy that book and mail that book to her. And I had all these arguments in my mind because I'm non-confrontational. I didn't know what her spiritual life might have been. I didn't want to get her angry or more upset. But I just could not move until I picked up that book. So I just, all right, I'll pick it up. And as I was checking out at the counter, they have this binder with proper names in it, with little cards, with your name, with the meaning of your name, and the definition or a Bible verse to go with it. And there was her name. So I thought, okay, I'll pick that up too. And so anyway, the post office is just down the street. So I went down there, got her address, and mailed it off and waited for who knows what. I was nervous. Anyway, I get a phone call from her a few days later, and she's very emotional on the phone. And apparently her sister had just died a few years ago from cancer, and she was young, brain cancer. And on that little card that I gave her was the nickname that her sister called her. And she said it was like the heavens opened, and her sister reached down and hugged her. And the book was a very big encouragement to her. And so I was just so thrilled that I had listened to the Holy Spirit. But that wasn't the end of the story. A couple of weeks later, I get a letter in my mailbox from out of town. And here it is, the mother of this girl who said she had been praying that God would send somebody to encourage her daughter. If there was anyone, and she didn't know anybody in the Sioux, if there was anybody that would just do something that would encourage her daughter. And she said I had been an answer to her prayer. She kept in touch with me until she passed away, sending me letters and Christmas cards. And when she came to visit her daughter, she would always look me up, and we would have coffee together or a visit. And it was just I knew then she was praying for my family as well. And when I went to Africa with James Douglas's group, she was praying for our group. She and a bunch of women that pray together were praying for our group in Africa, and they didn't know any of us, but they were praying.
You know, if you ever doubt the kindness of God, right? That he would have you in that store, unable to move, so strongly prompted by God's Spirit that this is the book for this woman, that God would pay attention to the needs of that woman. Just remarkable, isn't it? That of all the things that God is thinking about, that he would have you pause there. Well, friends, we've talked about a lot of things. Is there anything that God's been speaking to you about this morning? Anything you would want to share with Marianne or with the group? Sorry, I put you on the spot. I should have given you more notice. Anything that jumps out at you? Yeah.
Well, Mary, I'm being very glad that you brought up that Revelation verse about prayer.
For those on Zoom, Patricia's just sharing about that Revelation passage and how important that's been for her, the eternal nature of our prayers. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. Anyone else? Just quickly have something to share. Yeah, Margaret. Thanks, Margaret. Margaret's just sharing about how God guides our prayers, right? About how he meets us in prayer and guides us to the things we would pray about. Yeah. Anyone else? Last person to share here. Okay, we'll just leave it there. Marianne, thanks so much for sharing with us today. Yeah, there's just so many ways we see God's sovereign hand in the midst of your family. And, you know, Doug and Elsie are sitting there and John's here, and just the way that he superintends the events of our lives and brings us through, and now your life and your children's lives are impacting people. It's just amazing, isn't it, to see this. So thank you. Thank you for sharing with us. Well, friends, I mentioned I'll be away this week coming up. Next week, Ryan Lidstone will be here, so you can join in with him. I coerced Peter and Grace to host. I think they're going to do a great job. It's going to be a lot more fun with them here than it is with me. You know, Peter and Grace are a lot of fun. So please join us as you're able on Zoom or in person here. Let's pray together, okay? Father, we really want to be a church that honors you, that lives the life of Jesus in this community. So, Father, would you keep on training us for this purpose? Would you give us ears to hear the prompting of your Spirit? Would you keep on shaping our hearts to care about those that we might initially resist or even want to fight against? And would you help us to keep on spurring each other on in these things? Lord, help us to be a faithful church, one that really honors you. And we pray that you'll do this in us by the power of your Spirit and in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, thanks again for being here with us today. I hope you're encouraged. Now go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.